Take your Bible, go to John 15, and stand with me if you would please. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Now listen, summer fruit all summer long. Summer fruit is the pastor's theme all 13 weeks of the summer. This morning, the true vine. Next Sunday out of John 15, the true vine dresser. The third week of June, the doctor is in the house. That's our third Sunday with Dr. Charles Lowry through this year. On Father's Day, he's coming for our family checkup day. We've already had one. He'll be here, and then he's coming again in the fall. The preacher, the psychologist, the comedian that will be with us and open the Word of God. And then the fourth week, I will be back in John 15 after this morning, the true vine. Then the true vine dresser. And then in the last week of this month, the true branches, the true branches, right out of John 15. One of the most powerful, engaging texts in all of the Word of God. And so we're in John 15, and I'll be preaching all month long of these first 11 verses. And I want you to be in it and reading it and asking God to teach us during these days. So you look at the Word of God. And read with me just verse 1 out loud, and then I will continue as you follow in verses 2 through 11. John 15, 1. You read the first one out loud with me and read it just now. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every Bernard, you just hang on. You take directions, all right? And we're going to do like I was in a meeting with an old preacher, R.G. Lee, one time, and the folks got to messing around with him, and he said, "Oh, we're going to start over." He preached about 15 minutes, and people got to walking out, and he said, "Sit down, we're starting over." He went right back to the first of the sermon and started over again. Nobody moved the rest of the day or the afternoon or even the evening service. They sat there. Read verse 1 and then be quiet. Are you ready? Did you understand? All right, here we go. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. In years gone by, if you looked at the nation England, the United Kingdom had a symbol. The symbol of the United Kingdom was the lion. When you think of the country Russia, the symbol of Russia is the bear. When we think of Japan, the symbol of Japan is the rising sun. All through the Old Testament, the nation Israel had a symbol. It was on the door of the temple during Jesus' day. It was the vine. The vine. Israel was the vine. When you read in Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, you read in the Psalms that The psalmist said God had planted a vine, and he planted it and moved it to Egypt, but he took it out of Egypt and he brought it into Canaan, into the promised land, and it flourished. When you read in Jeremiah 2 and 21, he says that Israel was a vine, but she has turned in a bad way, and she has become a foreign vine. The vine was the symbol. And Jesus now has gathered his disciples, all of these Jews, Israelites, and he said to them, I am the vine. Not national Israel, but me. I am the vine. Israel brought him forth, but the vine, don't miss it. The vine was Israel. The vine today is Jesus. And in the days to come, there will be a vine of the eternal kingdom that we find in the apocalypsis in the Revelation. The true vine. Literally, the Greek New Testament says, Jesus did, I am vine, the true. There is but one true vine, and Jesus is his name. Father, speak to us now through your word and help us today to learn a little bit more about the vine and the branches. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. This morning, the true vine. There are two considerations that I want to place before us this morning, and then we're going to do what we've been singing about since the opening song till Matthew's song. We're going to bow. It'd be a shame to sing all these songs about bowing and stand up all day and sit down without bowing, and that's what we need to do when we understand the vine. Two items I want you to consider this morning. Number one, consider what I call the face of the vine. It is no longer Israel. Jesus said it. I am the vine. I am not saying today that Israel does not matter. I am not saying that Israel is no longer God's chosen people. I am not saying that God does not have a place for Israel. We'll preach about that. We've taught about that, and we will in days to come. But I want you to understand today that the vine, the source of life, is not a nation. It is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the face of the vine. It was that way at his birth when angels said, they did not sing, but they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was said at his baptism when God the Father himself thundered in Matthew 3 and verse 17, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God spoke again at Jesus' transfiguration there on the mountain with Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17 and verse 5. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. The Bible says that no fault was found in him. He was the perfect one. The Song of Solomon prophesied and said that he is altogether lovely. He is the chief among tens of thousands. Hear me, friend. There is but one source of life. There is but one source of eternal life. There is but one source of abundant life. And Jesus Christ is his name. Don't miss his face. I am the vine. You need to get to him. You need to come to him. If he's the only source of life, get to him. But not only do you need to get to him, you need to stay with him. Many people will come to Jesus, they just won't stay with Jesus. Abiding in him is the only way to be a fruitful Christian. The only way to have abundant Christian life is to abide in Him. Most Baptists believe that their personal action is what yields fruit. It's wrong. Your personal action will make you tired if you are severed from the vine. You'll work and you'll sweat and you'll labor and you'll grunt and then you'll gripe and then you'll complain, then you'll bellyache, and then before long you'll think that you are the source because you work it up. Friend, it's not of you. Matter of fact, Jesus said you can't do anything without Him. We must learn that in our action we must first abide. Abide. Get to Him. Stay with Him. And trust in Him. Now let's just pause right here in the beginning of this sermon. Are you in the vine? Are you a saved Baptist? Are you a saved churchgoer? You've come here on this Sunday morning. Thank God you've come. What I want to know today is, are you going to go to heaven? I'm grateful you come here, but I sure want you to go there. Are you in Him? You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm in Him? Can you take me to a place and tell me of a time when you've confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know that He drew you unto Himself, and you are now, and you have called on His name? Can you take me there? Our Caris House ladies will be in the second service. I love them. And when we sing that I Choose to Bow song, they'll shout in the second service. They hadn't got over it yet. They'll get excited. You want to know why we do that ministry? I got an email about it yesterday. One of our ladies that was early in our Caris House ministry has now graduated out, and she has a job now, making her own way. She's a hairdresser. One of our ladies went to get her hair done there over the weekend. She sent me an email and said, pastor, have you heard about and called her name? I said, well, no, I don't get my hair done there. She said, well, let me tell you. She said, this lady who's now full of Jesus, abiding in Him, had had her relationship severed with her mother. Said she called her 73-year-old mom and asked her if she would come and let her do her hair for free. And while she had her in the chair, she shared her story. And before her mother left the chair, she led her to Jesus, introduced her to her Savior, and her mama is abiding in the vine. Now that's why we do Caris House. And some of you clap like you don't believe that. I just said that a lady who was in jail and a dope addict got saved and led her mama to Jesus, and they're both going to heaven together. Now the Bible says that when that happens, they shout where the angels are. God help us to get off our hands. Just get a little something in your step. I mean, she just missed hell, made heaven. Glory to God. She is now abiding in the vine. She got to Him, staying with Him. And you say, pastor, how in the world can that happen to me? If you will call on the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who opened the way, who tore the veil, who died on the cross, who got up out of the grave, if you'll call on Him, He'll save you today. He'll do that for you. Just call on His name. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The vine is the source of the life. If you're in this room listening to me when I give the invitation in a moment, come and say yes to Jesus. If you're watching today by television, there is a number at the bottom of the screen that says, call this number for spiritual help. If you'll pick up your phone and call that number, somebody will talk to you and pray with you and help you. If you will just reach out, they'll help you today. Just dial the number. They're there waiting. If you're watching by internet today, call on the name of the Lord. Trust Him and call on His name. In a moment, when I stand right here, I'm going to ask you to come. Come today. Jesus is the source. He is the face. He is the face of the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. And when you get to know Him, He reaches deep into the eternal riches of God's grace. And through Christ comes the sap, the life of eternity. And it flows out to all who are engrafted into Him. That is the picture that Jesus gives us right here. Are you in Him? Are you in Him? If you're not, know Him today. The face of the vine. We invite you, come and know Him today. But secondly, I want you to consider in this not only the face of the vine, but secondly, I want you to consider the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine. Now, immediately when I say the fruit of the vine, all the Baptists go to wine. They go to alcohol. But the fruit of the vine coming out of the Lord Jesus is not an adult beverage. The fruit of the vine is Jesus Himself. You see, what Jesus produces in you, if you are in Him, He produces Himself in you. The only thing you get out of an orange tree is an orange. If you graft into an apple, you get apple. You see, the type of the vine gives the fruit on the branch. And the fruit is not of you, the fruit is of the vine. Now watch this, when you are in the vine, then the fruitfulness begins to come in your life. And there are three fruits to consider in this text. What is it Jesus produces within us? Well, He produces Himself. Three things. Number one, Jesus produces obedience. Obedience. Look in verse number 10, we just read it. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments. What did Jesus do? Jesus obeyed the Father. Let me tell you, what God will make happen in your life and in my life, when you are abiding in the vine, when you are in Jesus, obedience comes in your life. And everyone in this room needs to do the will of God radically, courageously, and joyously. What's the will of God in your life? Find the will of God and do it radically. Do it courageously. And do it joyfully. What's the will of God in your life? Some of you have hatred toward a brother or sister. I can tell you right now, it is the will of God for you to radically, courageously, and joyously forgive the person who's offended you. You say, I can't do it. I know you can't. Because you can't do anything by yourself, but I'm telling you, if you abide in the vine, God will put that in you, and that obedience of forgiveness will come. It's the Jesus way. Some of you need to walk down this aisle today, and you need to be baptized. You need to radically, courageously, and joyously go in the baptismal fount, as these two young men did today. You need to walk in there tonight, the following week, whenever, and you need to follow. It is the will of God, if you've been saved, for you to be baptized. For some of you, it's the will of God for you to preach the gospel. I'm talking about quit your job, get prepared, and become a gospel proclaimer, a preacher vocationally. Everybody's to give a witness, but I'm talking about the call to ministry when God calls you and you need to do the will of God radically, courageously, and joyfully. I shared last Sunday. I'm excited about this summer. 40 years ago this summer that God called me to preach. I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years. Just a 17-year-old kid. God reached and touched me, and I walked forward in that little country church. One of my dear friends was preaching, and I just said yes. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to coach. That was my dream and aim. I said, Lord, I will radically, courageously, and joyously. The hardest thing I did was walk home that night and tell my dad, God's called me to preach. I walked in the back bathroom off of the master bedroom in our home. My dad was brushing his teeth. And I said, Dad, something I got to tell you. And he turned around. He still got his toothbrush in his hand. I can still see a little bit of that toothpaste on Savvy's face. And I just blurted it out and told him, and he dropped his toothbrush in the sink, got a towel, and wiped his mouth. My father, who's 85 this morning, looked at me and he said, whatever God calls you to do, you better do it. Best advice out of a high school graduate non-theologian I've ever received. Whatever God calls you to do, you better do it. It is called obedience. And if you are grafted in the vine, I'm here to tell you Jesus will produce in you a radical, courageous, joyful obedience. To forgive others, to walk in baptism, preach the gospel, love. I don't know what. God will call you to give. I'm just telling you, God causes radical, radical obedience to come within your life. And you'll do it courageously, and then you'll be full of joy when you are about that. What is it Jesus produces? Number one, Jesus always produces obedience. Radical obedience within his people. Now let's just stop here for a moment. What is it God's called you to do that you're not doing? What is the action point that God has said, this is my will for your life, and you have halted, you've backed up, and you've said no to the will of God? Let me tell you, friend, you're never going to know joy until you know obedience. And you'll never know obedience until you are abiding in the vine. You got to rest in him. And when you rest in him, he causes it to flow through. Friend, you don't make the fruit. The fruit just hangs out there on the branches. You just stay tied to him, and he'll cause the fruit to come. Amen. You can grunt and do all you want to, but you can't make fruit. But you can get tied to him and just watch fruit come within your life. The first fruit of the vine is obedience. Secondly, there is another fruit, and it is the fruit of love. Notice in verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Let me tell you, the second piece of fruit is love. Now, I want all of you to look at the screen. And we're going to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read a passage that you already know because you've been in church a long time. But I want you to read with me, and every time you see a comma, stop. Don't say anything else. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Here is what Jesus wants to produce in you. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Read it out loud to the comma. Love is... Pick up the text. Love is kind and is not. Love does not brag and is not. Does not act. It does not seek its. Is not. Does not take into action a wrong. Does not rejoice.
but rejoices with bears all things. Believes all things. And then verse 8 would say, love never fails. Do you know if Olive is to be known by anything, if it's a Jesus church, love is it? Love. I called visitors yesterday, as I do every Saturday. I got one lady on the phone. She said, well, I'm kind of surprised to hear from you. I said, yeah, why is that? She said, well, I've been told that Olive just doesn't even care about visitors. You fill out a card, you never hear from anybody. I said, did you get a card from me this week? She said, yes, it came in the mail. I said, did anybody else call you? She said, yes, somebody from Sunday school class called me. And I said, who's on the phone with you? She said, the pastor. I said, somebody's lied to you. Now, we miss it. Sometimes you can't find people. Sometimes people don't want to be found. But I'm here to tell you, this church has got to love people they don't know. Only if you want to be like Jesus. Now, if you don't want to be like Jesus, don't worry about it. But you know, for me, loving the folks I don't know is the easy part. It's the ones I know, Brother Robert, it's the hard part for me. And the ones I know best. Now, church, I want you to listen to this preacher. You can't have a crowd this size. You can't have a church this big and this active without people having bumped their heads together. But if there is ever anyone in this church that you cannot reach out and at least take their hand and look them in the eye and say to them, I love you, you are not abiding in the vine. No, you're not. The preacher, is that easy? No, that's not easy. Patient, kind, not jealous, doesn't brag, not arrogant, doesn't act unbecomingly. I'm glad my mother didn't know that word. I can just hear Miss Jean, don't you act unbecomingly around me. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to start using that. Doesn't seek its own. Provoked, not provoked. You ever been provoked? He provoked me. If you're biting in a vine, then Jesus will cool you off. Doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. My soul. But Lord, he did this to me. I know, but love doesn't count. Wrong suffered. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. No, sometimes you see some folks and bad things happen, you just think, thank God they deserve that. You're not abiding in the vine. Bears all things. That's some stuff I don't want to bear. Amen. Some things I can't bear, but I'm here to tell you, if you get tied into Jesus, he'll give you source strength to love the unlovely. Amen. Those you don't know and those you do know. How are they going to know we're his disciples when we love one another? The face of the vine, it's Jesus. The fruit of the vine, obedience. The fruit of the vine, love. But thirdly, quickly, lastly, the third fruit, the fruit of the vine is joy. Joy. Look in verse 11 of John 15. This is just so, it's ironic that this is in this text. Look at this. These things, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you. I've said all of this to you so that my joy. When did we ever see Jesus laugh? When does it ever say he even smiled in the New Testament? That his joy might be in you, and that your joy could be made full. Here's my question. Was the man of sorrows a joyful man? Was Jesus a joyful man? The answer to that is yes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the what? The joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hear me, dear friend. There is no greater joy or oil of gladness than that which comes when we give ourselves away to Jesus to do life the Jesus way. The greatest joy you have is when you give your life away, not when you have it. The greatest joy you'll ever have is when you endure the cross, despise the shame. Why? So that others can see Jesus in you. Every laugh is not from a radiant, joyful heart. I know some people who laugh because their heart is dark. Joy. Joy. The oil of gladness. We need to quit worrying about the church being happy. The church is not supposed to be happy. It's supposed to be holy. And when it's holy, it gets joyful. There's a deep joy. That's an amazing verse of scripture. For the joy set before him, he went to the cross. The greatest joy you'll have is when you give. All right, now I'm 57. Got 2 children, married, gone. Everybody keeps saying, you know, Pastor, just wait. It's going to be another generation. You're going to be a grandfather. God blesses. And you're just going to love that. And it's going to be good. Okay, we'll see. That's up to somebody else, not me. But I know this, my life is now in a position to be a greater giver than I've ever had in my life. You remember the first Christmas you ever had? I do. I got Tonka trucks. Greatest Christmas in my life. I don't mean plastic. I'm talking about metal, pinch your fingers off with the dump truck deal. Amen. Real Tonka trucks. I will never forget walking in that room and there was a box. I mean, a load of them. I said, glory to God. I think I became a preacher right then. But do you know it's more blessed to give and it is received. You want to know where joy comes? When you give your life away. Anybody can give money. When you give your life away, that's when the joy comes. Because you've given all you've got. You see, friend, some of you are never going to find joy till you give your life away to the vine. And when you give your life away to the vine, who is Jesus, that's when the joy begins to come within your life. His name's Warren Wiersbe. I had to write it down because I can't remember it yet. But here's what Warren said, and I'll tell you this again and again. Warren Wiersbe said about John 15, listen to this. I love this. The secret of the Spirit-filled life is bearing fruit. And the secret of bearing fruit is abiding, and the secret of abiding is obeying, and the secret of obeying is loving, and the secret of loving is knowing Him. And when you know Him, joy. Great joy comes. Well, why is it you meet people that seems like they've got everything that this world could offer and they're not very happy? It's because they're hoarders. They've not learned to give away. Jesus died full of joy, praying that that joy would be in us. And when he died, he didn't have a house. He didn't have a dime. He didn't have a vehicle. He didn't have a donkey. He died a pauper, but the richest man that ever been, because he gave away his life. Joy comes in the giving. You don't understand that, do you? You're looking at me like you are psychotic. I'm just telling you, this book demands you abide in the vine. Coming in next service will be a horde of teenagers right over here. John Davie is one of the 12th grade Sunday school teachers, and he taught this morning on John 15. John is a horticulturist. He does trees and plants, and he helps me with my infamous lemon tree that I've talked about. And my lemon tree just had a few little things on it this year. And then it had one big branch that got twice as tall as everything. It went way up. I couldn't even reach the top of it. And I asked him, I said, John, what is that? He said, Pastor, has it got any fruit on it? I said, no. He said, it's coming out of false stock. And he said, it's come up out of the ground. He said, crawl around, dig down in there. He said, watch the thorns. And I said, yes, amen. And he said, dig, and you'll see it coming out of the ground. It's a false shoot. And what it's doing, it is sucking life out of the real vine. I said, what do you do? He said, cut that sucker off. So I got me a saw. You got to watch those thorns, because the suckers in your life don't want to go away easy. They'll punch you and grab you. I was bleeding all over and I got out from under that thing. Well, I know I forgot my gloves, but I got him out of there. I drug him off and I threw him in the woods in Jesus' name. Some of you have got some suckers that are taking a life out of you, and you are abiding in them rather than in the vine. Therefore, you are a fruitless Christian. And you're going to have to cut that out of your life. Take it away so fruit can come. Abide in the vine. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. Fruit. It's going to be a fruitful summer. Obedience. It's going to be a fruitful summer. Obedience. Love. And joy. That Jesus